Did I say Ephesians chapter 3? Okay, let's take a look at Ephesians 3 and verse 6. Ephesians 3 and 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Lord, we do thank you for your word. Lord, we bless your word. Lord, we ask that you speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, so that we can navigate, Lord, daily through a dark, dying, decaying world, Lord. So we need the illumination of your word. We need the light of your word, Lord. We need help through the Holy Spirit to see where to go, where not to go, what to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say, how to think, how not to think, Lord. So we thank you that your word covers it all. So we ask that you would bless your word this morning and bless the people as they hear your word. Let us hear it, apply it, and let us live it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we start in Ephesians chapter 3. We've been through several chapters in Ephesians. Ephesians is a book written to the church at Ephesus, most scholars believe. It talks about three things. It talks about the wealth of the believer. It talks about the walk of the believer. And it talks about the warfare of the believer. And we'll try and talk about the wealth and get to the walk if we can today. And when it talks about the wealth, it talks about the things money can't buy. So that's not what it's not talking about the grab it and blab it and name it and claim it. It's not talking about that, but it's talking about the things that money can't buy. Amen. And so Paul, he gives a stern word to the church at Ephesus, because although they have access to God and the wealth, the spiritual wealth, the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the self-control, the faith, they were living far beneath who they were. And so he writes this letter to remind them of who they are in Christ. And so we're going to touch a little bit on the wealth. And I know the men in the morning Bible study have been going through Ephesians chapter 3 as well. So, men, I want to encourage you. Let's stay involved with the morning Bible study. Wednesday night, church family, men, women, families, come on out. It's been really good. So, amen. So just keep that in mind. It's just a blessing to be able to fellowship on many levels here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. But Paul is writing, he says that the Gentiles, verse 6, 3 and 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So we're all, as we're in Christ, there's no separation, there's no difference. Jew, Greek, Gentile, tall, short, black, white, green, orange, pink, yellow, we're all one in Christ. God doesn't discriminate. God says, come as you are, and he loves us so much he'll take us as we are, but he loves us even more that he would not leave us as we are. So people try and say God is not inclusive. Actually, God is. But people make their choice. They don't choose God. Amen. So you have your choice. You have your free will. God said, I'll take anybody. God doesn't separate. God actually brings us together. But when I make my choice and say, because based on my free will, I got this, I don't need God, then you've made your own choice. And that's not God's choice, that's your choice. So Paul is reminding them that we're all one in Christ. And then look what he says in verse 7. He says, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift. Somebody should underline gift. Because we know that it's a gift of God, that salvation is a gift. You don't have to work for it, but because you are saved, you should live like it. But you don't work to get saved. You just accept a free gift. In a couple of months, it'll be Christmas time. Somebody might give you a gift. Hopefully somebody will. But don't get upset because it's not your birthday anyway. Amen. Amen. But if someone does give you a gift, you can say thank you, or you can say no thank you. You do not have to take it. You know, some people, they're trying to get into your life and they want to give you a gift, and you have to tell them, no, I don't think I should take that. Somebody say amen. And remember, people come into your life for two reasons, to push you closer to God or to pull you further away from God. So that's why you tell them, no, thanks, I'm okay, I'm cool with that. No, I don't think I should take that. So it's the same thing with God. God offers us the free gift of salvation. He offers us riches in him. And we can say, you know what, I'm cool, I don't want that. Some people, I don't need that Jesus stuff. I'm okay. So don't think that it's God who rejects people. It's us that reject God. God has not rejected us. God loves us. He wants us to come into repentance. But we say, I got this. All right. So let people know that God doesn't exclude people. God takes whoever will come to him. And people make their own choice. Okay, let's finish verse 7. Wherefore I was made a minister to the gift, according to the gift of the grace of God. Somebody say amen. Underline gift and grace. Grace is the power, it's the unmerited favor of God given unto me by the effective working of his power. Everything that you and I have in Christ is because of the effective working of his power. We couldn't have gotten up this morning to do anything without the effective working of his power. Those of us with degrees, and you know anybody with a degree, know it's by the grace of God. You can't take credit for that. You wouldn't have, God wouldn't give you the ability to think and to reason, to sit still and to study through the effective working of his power. You wouldn't have a degree. So don't get all high and mighty on your degrees. Or any skill or ability that you have is because of the effective working of his power. We had nothing to do with it. There's people who are far smarter and talented who are on the street talking to themselves. Somebody better say amen.
Amen.
It's the grace of God that you and I, that we live, we move, we have our being. It has really nothing to do with us. But when we surrender to God, he lifts us up at the right time, which he calls in the word the due season. Then Paul breaks it down even further in verse 8. He says, unto me, who am less than the least of the saints. He said, I'm the least of the saints. I'm below them. We know Paul's history because he persecuted the church. He killed Christians. He fed them to the lions. He said, but the grace of God allowed him to now be a minister of the gospel. So never count yourself out. Paul said, even as us, we think we're not worthy. Paul says, I'm even less than you. And Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And he says, I'm less than you because I was killing folks like you and feed them to the lions until the Lord saved my life. So we're saints, but we're not angels. Amen. We're sanctified through the blood of Jesus. You don't have to be a Catholic priest or a pope to be holy or sanctified. Through the blood of Jesus, we are. Amen.
Amen.
And we should live like it. This is what Paul is saying. You're sanctified. You're a saint. Live like it. Verse 8 again. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable or the incomprehensible riches of Christ. Say, you can't even comprehend what God has for you when you're in Christ. So his question to them was, so why are you living like that? Why are you selling for less? Why haven't you surrendered all to Christ? Why haven't you given him everything? You can't even comprehend what he has for you. What's holding you back? And he gets to verse 9. He said, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Wow. Either you believe that or you don't. There's mysteries that were hid in Christ Jesus. Verse 10, look at that. It says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. That's you and I. Somebody underline that. So God says through the church, through Jesus Christ, we have access to him and we get to see into the spirit realm of how God created everything through Jesus Christ. We have access to God. Remember, his death gave us access, and when we die to self, it gives us entrance. Said the many-sided wisdom of God. Verse 9 again, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, how God wants to have a relationship with you and I, the God who created everything, which had been hid in God, whom created all things by Christ Jesus. So think about that. God has left his creative footprint on everything. Right? It's just like nowadays they talk about a digital footprint. All right, we all have. Who has a smartphone? Who's ever seen a phone? Who has a dumb phone? Yeah, amen. It sure seems dumb sometimes, doesn't it? But these phones, it's your digital footprint. Really, you can't do anything these days without someone knowing. Because if you make that call, it hits the cell tower and they know where you were, where at least your phone was. And my phone, it has the nerve to just on a certain morning says, well, you've been going on Sunday mornings. It gives me you've been going to the church every Sunday. So it tells me, is this important to you? Is this location important to you? Okay, so I'll put yes. And it tells me you have exactly 8 minutes going down the line. Well, how does that phone know? It's because of the digital footprint. When you log on to your computer, you're leaving a digital footprint. You might as well do the right thing because eventually it's going to come. It's eventually everybody going to know. Yeah, big brother is watching. But then God says, I've left my creative footprint on everything. That's why when you and I, when we stand before God, we can't say, God, if I would have known you were here, I would have served you. God said, are you kidding me? I left my creative footprint on everything. So you think a tree just came up from the ground? Or the sun went up and came down, actually rotating and going to different parts of the world? Or the sea would come up, but it wouldn't cross over into the land at a certain point? Or that we breathe in oxygen and breathe out CO2, the carbon dioxide, and the trees breathe out oxygen and take in carbon dioxide. You thought that just God's going to be, I'm sure God has a sense of humor because he's going to be laughing like, so you really thought, you know what actually takes more? You really thought that just happened? It takes more faith to believe that this just came from nothing than it actually does to say, you know what? I got to get into God's word and get close to this Jesus. It takes more faith for you to believe that. That gravity just happened, otherwise we'd be floating around. He's left his creative footprint on everything. Young folks, that's why you want to research God and get to know God. All these other doctrines out there and all these other things that are happening, but God's left his creative footprint on everything for us to know that he's real. So when we're committing to him, we're not just committing to a thought or an idea, but we're committing to the true and living God who lives through us through his Holy Spirit. And then those of us that were fortunate enough to have traveled to Israel are to Israel, and we've seen the empty tomb, and we've traveled across the Sea of Galilee. We've been to the Jordan River. We see the physical evidence in addition to the spiritual evidence of a changed life. God's going to say, really? Did you just think all that happened? Look at verse 11. It says, according to the eternal purpose, which was purpose in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There's an eternal purpose for your life. That's why you get close to God and put this on your prayer list as we're praying every morning. And here at South Bay, we pray and fast every morning. Before we take our first meal, we've already gotten up and we've prayed and we've fasted and we've gone after God. But put this on your, as you're praying, God, show me how my life fits into your eternal purpose, which was purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Lord, show me how. And he'll reveal it to you. But there's an eternal purpose for your life. And we'll ask people and we'll ask, what do you think I should do? What do you think I should do? And it's, but see, they didn't create you. They can give you an idea. But see, when God created you and I, he had something in mind. So since they didn't create you, they can only give you an idea. But when you go to God, he makes it plain. It's just like, let me see, I'm going to pick on Sister Hazel. Where's Sister Hazel? Is she here? Sister Hazel, because she got a nice Mercedes Benz. All right? She's got that nice, fancy new Mercedes Benz. And see, I guarantee you, if that engine light comes on, she's not going to take it to the Ford dealer. She's not going to take the Mercedes to the Chevy dealer, Brother Marshall. She's not going to do that. Why not? Because they didn't create it. Ford's going to say, well, you probably need to take this to the Mercedes because we don't know all their codes and all this kind of stuff. Chevy's going to say, well, yeah, we got a Mercedes because they created it. So when your engine light comes on in your heart and you're trying to figure out what to do, where to go, how does this fit? You don't go to people because they didn't create you. You go to the one who created you and say, God, what's my eternal purpose? Why am I here? It's okay to ask people what they think, but when you really need to know, go to the Creator. When that engine light of your heart and your mind comes on and you're not sure, you don't know what to do, go to the Creator. Because he knows what he had in mind when he created you. And he'll tell you if you ask. That's a tough question, though, because when he shows you, then I want to do my thing, Lord, but I don't really want to know, so I'm not going to ask you. So I'm going to run and I'm going to hide. I'm going to pretend that I've got it all together. But I know I don't. And I'm afraid to ask God because he might tell me, you got to die to self so that you can live through me. It's a tough place to be in. It's a tough seat to sit in. You got to be spiritually mature and ready. But in the meantime, you cheat yourself and you're frustrated and you're just doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And they tell you that's the definition of insanity, to do the same thing over and over and over again and you expect a different result. That's crazy. That is crazy. I say, if you keep doing what you've always done, you're going to get what you always got. And that is crazy to expect. If I keep doing this, I'm going to get something different. But I've always done this and I got the same thing. But this time when I'm doing it, it's going to be different. Yeah, you're kind of crazy. That's it. There's no question about it. Present company included. Amen. Amen. We talk from experience. But when you get to the point where you say, okay, God, I'm sorry, I got to do it your way. It's a tough place to be in, but that's the best place to be in. It's the best place to be in. It gets better. Verse 12. Now Paul's really breaking it down. He says, in whom we have boldness and access. So that's why you can go to God boldly. Because now we have access with what? With confidence by the faith in him. Underline those key words there. We have boldness. You don't have to be afraid to go to God. God loves you. God cares for you. God's been waiting a long time for you. And you have access through Jesus Christ. You don't need to go through anybody. Pastor, will you pray for me? Yes, I will. But you can pray for yourself. You can go to God. You can bypass the pastor and go right to God yourself. Because trust me, when I need God, I'm not calling you. I'm going right to God myself. Amen. Don't waste time with me. Go to God and we can talk about it later. And he's going to confirm through me what he's already told you. But you don't want to do it, so you want pastor to give a different answer. I'm saying, what did God tell you? I haven't talked to him. Go talk to God, then let's talk. Not going to get me in trouble. What did God say? Hey, I remember that. That's the worst trouble I would get into. Oh, mom's here. Oh, my gosh. All right. I remember I would ask my mom something and she would tell me no. And then I would go ask my dad. Right. Yeah, boy, man. You remember those days? Boy, I got my butt beat until I went and told dad. He said, what'd your mom say? Well, she said, no. Well, boy, what you asking me for? Come here. Let me talk to you. Oh, dad. Gosh. Oh. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Dad, then you're not going, Dad, why are you trying to get me in trouble? Son, come here, let me show you what. You ain't going to do this again. I guarantee you won't do this again. So, wait, you go talk to God and what God tells you, then tell me what God said, and then let's talk. And I'll see if I can confirm that. If it's not according to the word, you know I'm going to tell you God ain't told you that. So don't come here. That'll be funny. We'll laugh about that one. If it's contrary to the word, it's not God. Somebody say amen. So you have to know the word so you can see who's talking to you if the enemy's trying to deceive you. Because God's going to confirm his word. It's not going to be some revelation that contradicts the word of God. No, that's not God. That's you. Verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him, or in him. Here's what Paul says, wherefore I desire, all right, I desire that you faint not, that you don't lose heart, that you don't fall apart because of my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So Paul is saying, take a look at my life. And because of don't fall apart because they're throwing me in jail and I got stoned and I got shipwrecked and all this other stuff. He said, don't look at that. Don't lose hope because of that, because it's the glory. It's for you, which is your glory. It's through my life. You can see that God is real. That's what Paul is saying. Through my life, you can see how God heals, delivers, answers, and sets free. Through my life and all the trouble I had, you can see that God is your light at the end of the tunnel. So don't fall apart because of what's happening to me. Use it as a guide so you can see that God is real, is what he's telling them. That God is the light. And then he gets into one of the most powerful prayers ever. Verse 14. Make a note of this as we're praying and fasting each morning. I think I've asked you to do this before, but do it again. Add this as we finished October, November, and December. Add this prayer right here. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our Father. That's our Lord. We are family here. Doesn't matter what your background is or where you come from. You're in Christ. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. We're family. Can't say I don't like certain people because this, that, the other. Well, you probably won't make it to heaven because there's going to be some of everybody there. If you got issues with certain people, then you're not going to take that stuff to heaven. So you better check yourself because there's going to be some of everybody there. Because it's our Father and it's our Lord through Jesus Christ. It says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That goes back to that creative footprint. The whole family in heaven and earth is named. And we know that Jesus Christ's name is above every name. Elohim, El Shaddai, the great creator. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom. The Lord's my banner. The Lord's my peace. The Lord's my provider. The whole family in heaven and earth is named after our God. Creative footprint. Here's the prayer as it continues on, verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Somebody say of his glory. Make sure you underline that, because see, it takes us out of the equation. We've been trying to do it ourselves. It's never going to work when we try and do it. Remember, God's not trying to improve you. He's trying to replace you to be like his son. I'm trying to get myself together. God said, no, that's a waste of time, because I'm going to replace you anyway. As good as you get, I'm going to replace you. So that's the problem. I can't come to church because I got to get myself together. No. You, even when you come, you got to get replaced. So why are you wasting time with that? It's just according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in your inner man. So we're not talking about the outside of you. We're not talking about getting dressed up and all that kind of stuff, which is good. And you should. Yes. It's okay, ladies, wear makeup. We prefer you coming here with your makeup on. Somebody say amen. Yes, men take a shower. We prefer you come in here nice and clean. Amen. Get a haircut, get a shave. Yes. But the prayer is for your inner man to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. By your commitment to accept Jesus Christ into your heart by faith. That's the gift right there. Either accepted or rejected. Do you want Christ to dwell in your heart by faith? That you being rooted and grounded in love. We got to stop there. We got to pick it up next week. I'm so sorry. We got to pick it up next week. Boy, we are just getting started. Oh my gosh. For our friends and family that's visiting, we have another ministry that comes in at 11. So we finish at 10:30 and we kind of vacate the premises. Amen. So that's why we have to stop now, although we're just getting good. But we thank God, Lord willing, amen, we will be here next week. But let's pray before we dismiss. If you would, bow your heads and just pray. Maybe someone's here, they're visiting, or maybe someone's been here. They just want to give the opportunity. Maybe someone says, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I never even looked at it as God's creative footprint is everywhere. I just thought stuff happened. Now I realize that God causes it to happen. Maybe that's you and you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ. I've never committed my life to Jesus Christ. I never knew it was a gift that I could accept into my heart. I thought I had to work for it. No, you don't have to work for it. You just have to say, Lord Jesus, I accept you into my heart. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's all about being rescued from death, hell, and the grave. And we just call on the name of Jesus. If you never called on Christ, you never accepted Christ into your heart. If that's you, elevate your hand. I want to pray if you've never accepted Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. As this year finishes out, I don't want to wait to January. I might not make it to January. I don't want to stagger into 2016. I want to finish 2015 strong. You don't have to stumble into 2016. As of today, you can finish strong through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not about you, it's about God working in you. It is about you surrendering and allowing God to take the lead in your life. If that's who you want to rededicate, elevate your hand. I love to pray for you. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home, and you say, Pastor, I've visited before. It's my first time, but I feel God is leading me to unite with South Bay Abundant Life Church. We'd love to be your family. We'd love to help you find your purpose, your method to deliver the message, the good news of the gospel that God has deposited in our hearts and souls. If that's you, elevate your hand. Lord, how we thank you for this day. Lord, how we bless you on today. What a great day it is, Lord. It's the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for an opportunity to be strengthened, Lord, to be reminded that we have boldness and access and we can have confidence, Lord, that you're inside of us and you're working through us, which you're according to your riches. All the things money can't buy, you've given us. Let us not keep it for ourselves. Let us share it with others. Let us follow your motto to seek and to save those that were that are lost, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Jesus Christ might be saved. Let us share that message, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together. Now, our hospitality committee has put together some snacks out for our guests right out front. So stand to your feet, give someone a hug, go out, enjoy the snacks. We love you. God bless you. And you are dismissed.
I wish I lived with you.
Who's in charge of making the announcements? Like putting it together in the bulletin, and who's in charge of that?